Yeah, that's great. We can use them all kinds of ways. So I love it when the sort of research fits our action. Thanks. So our final speaker is Roger Boothroyd, Dr. Roger Boothroyd, and he is the chair of the Department of Mental Health Law and Policy at the University of South Florida. And he is going to wind us up the very last presentation of our conference. We thank you.
Thanks, Jean. And I just want to personally acknowledge Jean for all of her terrific leadership of the mental health section as chair and the many, many other roles that she's had throughout the years. She thinks she's retiring, but she's really not. So thanks, Jean. We really do appreciate it. Going to go back to suicide a little bit. And for those of you who are interested in suicide, the session that was in this room actually before it was focused on veterans was actually excellent, I thought, and a lot of good information there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about predictors of self-reported suicide attempts among individuals that have mental health issues. I have no financial or commercial disclosures or relationships or interests to let you know about, but I do want to acknowledge that the original study from which the data were drawn for this reanalysis was funded by, in part, by a grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, as well as through a contract that we have with the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is our Medicaid authority in Florida. So we can go back 60 years, and it was Bauer that argued that suicide was a very important public health concern and that its significance was greatly underestimated. And then we can jump ahead 50 years, look at the President's New Freedom Commission report, and we can find this quote: suicide is a serious public health challenge that has not received the attention and degree of national priority it deserves. Unfortunately, it sort of suggests we haven't gotten where we need to be in those intervening 50 years. John, in his presentation, starting off this session, presented some of the CDC statistics. So between 2000 and 2010, we've seen the rates of suicide increase from 10.4 per 1,000 to 12.1 per 1,000. That's approximately a 19% increase. He had indicated in one of his slides more than 38,000 suicides in 2010. And that makes it the 10th leading cause of death among Americans. During 2011, this is some SAMHSA data that has come out, 8 million adults reported having suicide ideation, suicide thoughts. 2.5 million adults talked about or acknowledged making a suicide plan, and 1.1 million reported a suicide attempt. And just to think about it, that someone in the United States dies by suicide every 13.7 minutes. Some of the risk factors, if we look at the literature that have been associated with reported suicide attempts, that at least are more consistent across studies: a younger age, being female, lower levels of education, and previously married. And those I put under the socio-demographic category. If we look at more clinical kinds of variables that have been associated with reported suicide attempts, obviously a prior suicide attempt is a good predictor. Having a mental health disorder, and that's particularly when we're looking at more general populations. If we're looking more within a mental health population, the severity of symptoms or the severity of the disorder tends to be a good predictor. And then substance use or dependency. So those are some of the clinical ones. And then in terms of service use, there really hasn't been a lot of studies that are really focused on the role that service use or service engagement has had in terms of reported suicide attempts. So the purpose of our reanalysis of these data was to really identify some of the socio-demographic, clinical, and service use variables that were associated with self-reported suicide attempts. And this was among a community-based sample of adults with severe mental illness. We were, as I mentioned before, we were particularly interested in this notion of service utilization and whether that was predictive of reported suicide attempts. The data source for this was data that was part of a multi-site study of managed care that took place, and all of the folks that were in this sample were enrolled in Medicaid, and these are obviously folks from Florida. And what we noticed in the larger sample that during the first 6 months of the study, 55 of the adults reported they had attempted suicide And that sort of got our interest back then. And of course, like many things, time goes by, we didn't focus on it, and we decided to sort of pull it out and start to look at that issue to see what we could learn. In terms of drawing the sample for this analysis, we used propensity scoring to try to control for the fact that these folks are enrolled in different managed care conditions. And so we wanted a matched sample across the conditions in terms of the likelihood that they would be in one of those conditions. And so we drew a sample of 138 adults who didn't report a suicide attempt that were matched, in terms of the likelihood that they would be in one of the three managed care conditions that we had in Florida. The measure of suicide attempt is a question very similar to the question that's used in the National Comorbidity Survey or the Comorbidity Replication Survey, and it was, have you attempted suicide in the past 6 months? Pretty straightforward. Very sort of consistent with the ideation kinds of questions that John mentioned in the States. The predictors, we went to the literature, we identified 6 sociodemographic predictors, 5 clinical predictors, and 4 service use variables that were included in our analysis. We did have a very small amount of missing data. These interviews were done in person, so we didn't have much. But we did some imputation for variables where we had some missing data. And what we did is we assumed that the condition didn't exist if we couldn't verify it. So if we couldn't verify someone had a substance abuse or a substance use dependency issue, we assumed it didn't exist. We did a binary logistic regression, so we dichotomized the variables based on the way variables have been looking at attempted suicide have been done previously in the literature. So this is the whole sample of the 688. This is the 6 month data. You can see that 19% of the respondents or participants had reported some suicide ideation or thoughts of suicide, and 8% had attempted or reported an attempt of suicide. Those are pretty high numbers. Now, this is a mental health population, but it's only a 6 month time frame. And recognize that these were all enrolled in Medicaid, so they all had access to care, presumably. The sample characteristics for the 193 that are actually in this analysis, the 55 who reported suicide attempt, and the matched sample of non-suicide attempts, on average they're in the mid-40s. They were mostly male and mostly Caucasian, and a fair amount of Hispanics, which goes along with Florida. And so this is the binary logistic regression results. 4 variables were significant. I know that table's hard to read, so let me go to the next slide and sort of just talk about the highlights of the model. So overall, the model was significant. It correctly classified 80% of the 193 individuals in terms of whether they had reported a suicide or not. The pseudo R-square was 0.34. The 4 predictors that were significant were a pre-raised suicide attempt. Not surprising, it's very consistent. You can see the odds ratio is quite high, right? So it's 7 times more likely. Higher levels of mental health symptomatology, and this was measured by the Colorado Symptom Index, increased the likelihood. And being married increased the likelihood. And this is a little inconsistent with the previous literature. Having been married is the variable, and so this is conceptualized a little differently. And in the limitations, I'll talk about why this may be, but it's a little surprisingly. But not as surprising as the next one. And the next one is that substance abuse problems actually decreased the likelihood of someone reporting a suicide attempt, and that is very in contrast to what the literature would suggest. And disappointingly, I think, from my perspective, is that none of the service use variables were significant. And this is sort of longitudinal because we used the baseline data to predict 6 month responses. So this was baseline service use. And we had looked at it in terms of mental health, in terms of pharmacy, in terms of substance abuse, and in terms of medical services. So we had broad classes of service use, yet none of those declared themselves as significant predictors. So the rates of 19% in terms of suicide ideation and 8% of reported suicide attempts are somewhat higher than I think the literature would suggest. Even among our respondents who have mental health disorders. The significant association between prior suicide attempt and increased symptomatology is very consistent with the previous literature. However, the findings of being married and the likelihood of reporting a suicide attempt and having a substance abuse problem are really not consistent with the literature. And I already mentioned that we were somewhat disappointed and troubled by virtue of the fact that service use was not related to reported suicide attempts. Now, as Josh mentioned, lots of limitations. I just highlighted some of the ones I think are most relevant here. We used retrospective self-report suicide attempts. And we actually did a verification process. So out of those 55 cases, individuals who reported, we went into the medical records of 45. We could only find 2 documented cases. Okay, so the question is it happening, really happening, and the system doesn't know about it? Or, you know, are people interpreting a question like, have you attempted suicide, to mean very different kinds of things? And I think we don't have any information about the severity of the attempt, and there's been lots written in the literature about making a gesture versus an attempt, and so there's a lot of unknowns in terms of what the response, I think, to this question actually means. We use baseline risk factors. And so things like marital status can change in 6 months. And in fact, being married, particularly if there's issues within that relationship, that could actually be a contributory factor in terms of that. Same thing with mental health symptomatology. Mental health symptomatology at baseline could be very different at any point in time in that 6 months that would be more proximal to when the attempt was made. We don't know where in the 6 months that attempt was made. I think, you know, in some light, we have a National Strategy for Suicide Prevention, which is a national guide now for suicide prevention. That may be a positive light, since that was part of the title and I was trying to find a connection. And so there is something out there that's, you know, it's. But once again, hopefully 50 years from now, we won't be saying that as a public health concern that we really are not where we need to be. And then for adults with severe mental illness, we may need some specialized both prevention and sort of suicide awareness kinds of strategies that may be different from a prevention program that we have for a general population. So I would just offer that. As noted in the President's New Freedom Commission, access to services is an issue, but that's not true of this group, because they were all enrolled in Medicaid and presumably had relatively good access. But for a general population, access continues to be a barrier to a number of individuals. And I'll just leave you with the parting thought that in the time that I've done my presentation, it's very highly likely that at least one person has committed suicide. Thank you.